do when people do improv comedy, is that art?
Absolutely.
So a podcast is art. That's a form of
why would
conversational
it not be?
Improv.
Yeah.
This is not the first time Tony has referred to the podcast as art.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Well, our podcast is art. That's a fucking fact. I know that for sure. But everyone else's, though, is really what I'm referring to, you know?
Oh, all the other shit ones. Yeah.
Yeah. All the basically
ours is
just
the
every
only good one.
Ours
right?
is the good one. Yeah.
I mean, we do ours, you know, completely on the spot live in front of an audience.
And you would think it was scripted.
There's our audience now.
Hello, studio audience.
On the spot, live in front of an audience. It's all a lie.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I want to talk about a video I sent you guys in our group chat that was, it was one of the astronauts.
Mr. Hatfield.
Everyone's going to think we're dicks.
I don't care. You can say I'm a dick. I'm okay with that.
How do you know the name, Mr. Hatfield?
Okay,
he's like the most famous astronaut.
So there's this famous astronaut who did a cover of David Bowie's Starman from, I think it was the International Space Station or what? Where was
I think you might be right.
He was somewhere
in
space.
It has been 10 years since I saw it.
Yeah, okay, it was like a decade.
I hadn't seen it, okay? And I saw this video that this guy did like this like shitty cover in space. it was a zero grav this astronaut who like, you know, he couldn't sing, right? And I'm like, I'm watching this shit.
He's not a singer, he's an astronaut.
Right, and I guess the whole thing was like, look, I guess anyone can be anyone's creative, right? I believe that. I believe everyone in their spirit
is
worthy of telling an amazing story. I absolutely believe that. I don't care how much you think you're uncreative. I beg to differ.
Yeah.
I don't think there's special people and not special people. I don't believe in that. But I do believe that there's talented and untalented singers, right? Or like athletes or, you know, anything like that. This guy's an extremely talented astronaut, right? To have made it all the way to space.
Talented astronaut.
It's got to be even harder than getting signed, right?
He made it up. Yeah, maybe. Or equally as difficult. I don't know.
But sometimes I feel like when people are good at one thing, they just think that they're good at a lot of other things.
got an Elon thing.
It's an Elon situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought it was pompous for him to go up there, sing Starman from the fucking space station. I thought it was pompous.
So it made you upset.
Yeah. I was like, look at this fucking idiot. I did. I thought that to myself. I understand. Hey, I'm saying right now, I obviously understand he's not an idiot. He made it to space. I couldn't make it to space. But I'm not going around telling everyone, oh, I'm an astronaut. And I'm a singer, right? So like, I'm just saying, I think you could understand why I was annoyed watching this video.
I was annoyed.
I'm just being shitty.
Yeah,
I'm just. This is just funny. I'm not serious, so please don't get upset. You know what? Fuck you. Actually, never mind. if you get upset by this, you're a weenie.
I want to like look. He has massive talent, tremendous talent, just as you said. But
going to space.
His song, his cover, the cover itself. You know, his performance sort of it reminds you of like. Turning on like a public access TV station and there's like a local guy doing karaoke on and he's got that kind of voice, you know, but it's like, you know, he's just a normal guy. So it would sound like that, but
it's just a fun little video. I do believe it was Space Odyssey and not Starman.
Yeah, you're right.
But regardless, Major Tom.
I think it was Space Odyssey.
Is that Space Odyssey?
Yeah. Major Tom.
Oh, because Starman waiting for Starman.
He's got a lot
it's
of like, yeah, yeah.
Space Odyssey.
It's not Starman.
It starts
it
with
is
a
space.
You're right.
Odyssey.
I'm so sorry. But Space Odyssey.
It's okay. It's all. He's got so many.
It's well,
just
I just
a lot of the same.
If
lot
Mr.
Of same
Hatfield items. Sees yeah. this, yeah. I want to make sure he knows that we did our research.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm saying I didn't do any research. This is a shit. I'm being an asshole and I understand that, but it's funny. it's just funny.
Tony sent that video. We might have passed around words like dork.
It had
that's why it's funny.
Dweeb.
Because okay? I just know, by the way, I
nerd.
Know this guy. We went to high school with that. Everyone went to high school with
we
that
went
guy.
To high school with
I'm telling you, I right now.
With an astronaut?
No, with the fucking, the genius nerd. Who's like sometimes a dick, even though like I'm not just because you're like there's certain like just because you're smart doesn't make you a nerd, first of all, or maybe it does. Is nerd a smart person?
No, because all of my friends like freshman and sophomore year they were all nerds, but they were all dumb. Like, we were all idiots, you know? Like, none of us were smart, but we were definitely, like, computer and game. Like, there were those guys, too, you know?
I thought...
Okay. Like, computer nerds, but weren't, like, good at school.
I thought the geeks were the...
So that's a geek?
Oh, now we're making saying? A big distinction.
You know,
okay.
I'm not sure, let's get into it.
Yeah. What is the difference between a nerd and a geek, Becky?
I always assumed that the nerd was kind of like the more, because you were like the bookworm intelligent, and the geek is because you're into like
Dungeons and Dragons shit.
Yeah.
Got you. Yeah. That kind of makes sense, I guess.
A lot of times they go hand in hand.
Yeah, that's how I see it, is they're like interchangeable.
But, and they're probably not mutually exclusive. Like,
yeah.
I've probably been called both in my day.
Okay, for sure. And I could say the same. I tried really hard in school and stuff. I understand. I understand what it feels like to be a nerd, right? Like, I get it. And honestly, I think I understand what it means to be a geek, too. Because guess what? I was one of those guys hanging out with Lucas that he was just talking about.
Yeah.
I fucking get it, okay?
Wouldn't miss the Star Wars premiere.
I'm saying... Oh, man. I tried not to... That's a whole other story. I'm sorry, the Star Wars premiere, dark days for me. But I want to say, I've been in class, in the advanced classes, with the one guy who's dressing like he's Steve Jobs every day, and because he's better than everything. He's above this.
I can't
he's
use my brain on it, picking outfits.
Yeah, he you know.
Green
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's that kind of energy. It's fucking pompous. It's pompous. And that's the kind of brain that it would take to be like, hey, when I go up to space, I'm going to go sing David Bowie. To the entire world, and he had all the shots figured out. You know, it was not impromptu.
I could imagine
like that's got to be a hard thing to shoot. You would have to plan that extensively.
Well, someone filmed it, right? Is he up there alone, or did someone film it? Because that's what I'm thinking about too.
I'm thinking of like Matt Damon in The Martian.
Yeah.
Imagining that
I'm gonna science the shit out of this.
Someone had to capture the audio too. Let's not forget about that. Which is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
What a waste of energy up there.
What are the acoustics like in the?
You know, Lucas actually had the best. I thought the best comment of the whole text thread, which was. I don't want to paraphrase, but it was something like...
What was it?
It was...
I like to imagine that there's something better like, they could be spending with their time.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was really it, right? Like, I would like to imagine that this man has something better to do with his time. Think about the scope of humanity, the hours of human life in general as a whole. Up in space.
Yeah.
It's such a fucking slim fraction of the time.
To spend that valuable time, that precious time. Well, haven't they always been doing that shit in space? Like, when they did the first moon landing, didn't they bring like a golf club and weren't they fucking around, like putzing around on the moon or something?
Yeah.
Like, they were fucking around.
They did the PR stunt.
Yeah, they did the PR stunt.
All right.
Yeah.
That, you know what?
Yeah. I feel like, why are they always fucking around on the moon? Get some fucking work done,
it's
dude.
Fucking capitalism, man.
Build a fucking FOB base on the, we need one on the moon. I'm trying to fly up there today.
New frontier.
Anyway.
Yeah, well,
that was funny.
Isn't every ounce of weight like incredibly valuable because it determines like how much fuel you need and it's like, really expensive to add more something like I mean the astronaut
taxpayers
would know
dollars.
More.
I'm just saying
there's got to be a way we can get the public riled up about this kind of shit, you know? The guy took like an acoustic guitar up there. Like that's how much is that? Like 8 pounds? Like I don't know. That's fucking hey man. That's valuable shit right there.
Yeah, you know, I just thought I don't know why I had this visceral reaction of like I thought it was a joke and then it I thought about it, I was like, oh, this is so funny. I don't know what it was, but at the end of the day I think I'm just maybe I'm just a bitter man. I think that's the truth. And it's moments like this that make me feel defensive, and then I feel like I need to justify it. So I text it to you guys because I'm looking for some backup.
Like, yeah, can someone back me up? Yeah.
Do we think that Mr. Hadfield might have been offended by Bowie saying like he's the star man and talking to Major?
Oh, because
he didn't train to go to space.
You know what they call this? They call this stolen valor. You know when people pretend to be, they dress up as military to get like benefits. And then a real veteran will come up to him and be like, that's stolen valor, man. You're stealing our valor. So this is like...
So maybe this is a little payback.
Musical astronaut stolen valor. Yes, this is payback. I'm going to do what you do, Bowie.
Wow,
and I'm going to do it better. I'm going to do it in
space. Hurt people hurt more people.
That's great. I heard that on a Kendrick album once. changed my life. Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah. So,
anyway, welcome to All Talk.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to All Talk.
Any crossover between the Space Oddity cover or Space Odyssey cover and the Trumpet Guy rant?
I was going to. It was just a
Trumpet
long
guy
day
in space
of,
or something.
Of writing a lot of music and trying to be inspired. And sometimes I just, I was trying to finish this. The last song, I have the whole album bounced out, done, except this one track. And I was like, it needs like people like fighting in the background. So I started texting all my friends. I'm like, hey, and if anyone has like an iPhone video. And,
yeah.
My friend actually sent me some right before we shot right now. So I'm going to check that out. But
damn,
sometimes, I looked up, I was looking for a video maybe had like 10 views or something that I could just like sample and no one would know.
Yeah.
So I probably shouldn't say that on here, but no one's watching this. So anyway, so there's fucking, I look up NYC guys fighting and, the first thing that comes up is what's his name?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Wait, what? How, you knew the name at some point?
Well,
of
that's
the guy?
How I. That's how I like
there's
was able to send the
video of a guy
talk.
Who's just like screaming.
It's like
at this,
Noah
at
Longbottom or something.
No, you're talking about Neville Longbottom from Harry Potter. That's not who it is. But so it was a guy playing trumpet next to like a financial looking building.
Yeah, some building
and some guy in like slacks and like a nice expensive shirt, like. Comes out and just starts like fucking screaming
at him.
And they're just laughing at him.
Playing trumpet here all day. I want Bob Dylan up on stage. Who the fuck are you? You're no talent.
Everyone look up trumpet guy.
And I got the right to say it.
Yeah. Yeah, then he started talking about going to NYU Tisch.
Yeah.
Typical fucking rich kid attitude. You know what I mean?
It's the most
New
York.
Mean.
Motherfucker, and he's got a briefcase and he's thrashing it around.
Yeah, that
he
shit.
Slams that fucking shit, dude. He fucking. Anyway, we'll chat. We'll leave a link. It's a very popular video.
It's a popular bit.
I found it because
it's an amazing
because he was like interviewed in this podcast that I was watching.
What?
And that like, was even worse than the thing because the guys are going like as he's on the phone, and I'm like, you guys are the worst.
Yeah. Why the fuck?
Sorry,
like you had an opportunity there, and they're like giggling the whole fuck you guys. It's like that's annoying. Well, sorry, maybe they're big fans of us. Maybe we shouldn't say
doubt
fuck
it.
You. Yeah,
doubt it.
Come on, Neville Longbottom.
Did you guys hear about the Game Awards? Like Bill Clinton kid? Do you guys have any idea what I'm talking about when I
no.
say that?
No.
So you know they have like the game, like whatever the. The video game awards,
sure.
Where it's like the Oscars for fucking video games or whatever the fuck.
Game of the year.
So yeah, during they do all the announcements, and then the last one is Game of the Year, the last award they give out, and they announce Elden Ring is the Game of the Year. Then the people from Elden Ring go and they walk up to like make their speech or whatever, and then with them is like this 14-year-old like long hair, like hair like mine, like just some shaggy looking kid that didn't look like he. Belonged there. He's like walking up on stage in an oversized suit, and the Elden Ring team makes their little like announcement and like thanks for everything, and then this kid walks up to the mic and is just like, and I want to thank my rabbi Bill Clinton something 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 whatever whatever, and then it's like okay, and they just like turn the lights off and it was like wait, what the fuck happened, like what the fuck was that? We don't know what it
and
was.
And we still don't know this.
And we still don't really know what it was. It was just some kid that like infiltrated the Game Awards and just went up on stage.
Oh, it wasn't part of Elden Ring?
He was not a part of Elden Ring's team
at
all.
He just really had to get it out.
He just was waiting in there, the audience, for the Game of the Year announcement and was just decided, like, I'm just going to walk up with whoever
nice.
The fuck wins. And he did it and
that's
got away
impressive.
With it. He had... Nothing stopped him the entire way. No one stopped him. He just walked right up on stage on camera and just said this weird thing about Bill Clinton being his rabbi or something.
That sounds like a gamer kid thing to say.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like a gamer kid Reddit thing to say. But what the reason I'm like I thought of it is because you mentioned that like some group of people brought him this kid on some podcast, like making him a celebrity and like. They were just like, yeah, so tell us about, you know, the Bill Clinton thing. And they were just like snickering and loving it. And they were so happy to like have this meme kid as a guest. And it pissed me off because it was like, that's what this fucking kid like.
Wanted. That's exactly what he wants. Like on the podcast, his reason.
I didn't watch the whole.
Rabbi?
Well, for the clip that I saw, he has just been doing this since he was like 12. So like 2 years ago. Because he's like 14, but nice. He goes to like there was a video of him at like Minecraft Con or whatever, like trying to barge up onto the panel and say something. He's just trying to blow up through that means, and this one worked. It looked like
damn.
And that fucking it was another one of those things where I don't know. I just started to get annoyed. I know this is a kid. I would just made me fucking. I was like, fuck this kid. Get him off the camera. I don't want to see him again. Fuck this kid.
The clout competition. Yeah, it's just annoying.
I know he's just a kid, but it annoyed me. It started to annoy me. It was like, well, fucking, that's not a thing. Can't be that. You didn't do anything funny. Like, if you said something funny, then maybe I'd be on your side. Yeah,
I think that's. I get annoyed by that shit too.
Bill Clinton is my rabbi. Bill Clinton. What? What is that?
Clouded.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's like what? Clouded. And it worked.
And you know what? You know what's great about those people? They ruin it for everyone else forever. Because now the Game Awards is going to spend more money on security and make sure.
Yeah.
Happens.
And that's exactly what was
get
funny.
Up, go to the bathroom.
Yeah. What was funny is that like. The dude who runs the Game Awards was on Twitter just blasting, like, the man who was on stage, the perpetrator has been arrested. Like, just tweeting all these updates, like, we got the fucking guy who took down the Game Awards. It was, like, so intense. And then it's like, what are you going to do? He's a kid. You can't
14.
Do anything. Yeah, you're going to do to a fucking 14-year-old kid in a big suit. He looked like the Talking Heads fucking going up there. Like,
really
it was
funny.
Fucking ridiculous.
Sounds
dude.
Like it was funny. I don't know. I haven't seen it, so I can't say
it's
shit.
One of those things where it's like, look, the footage of the Will Smith Chris Rock slap is fucking hilarious, but I'm sick of it. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't.
Yeah.
It's like we all had to shut the fuck up about it. Let's just stop it. But when you just take, I mean, that's amazing TV. That's the best TV right there. So yeah, that's my.
There's stuff like that really makes me like hate this world. You know, like whenever I get really, and I feel
world.
Like I've been doing so good at not being cynical. I really feel like I've been really trying to not be cynical.
You see one Bowie cover and it just sends it all to
yeah,
shit.
It really puts things in perspective, right?
Cynical, dude.
I know, I can't help. It's just certain
can't
things just
it.
Trigger the cynicism and I'm like, fuck this world, man.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck the normies.
Fuck the normies.
At the same time, and then fuck the other people too. I just it's like I'm like that episode of South Park where everything just sounds like shit. And he's just a cynical
yeah
asshole.
Yeah
like,
oh my god
I'm talking about like that's
one of the greatest episodes ever.
That's how I feel, man. And I'm yeah. just like I'm getting too old for this. Like I feel like it's like
for,
when you're a teenager it's like oh teen angst and I'm like clearly not a teenager anymore.
Yeah, you have late 20s angst.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it's true.
It's catching up to
why
me.
Am I so angsty? I feel so angsty. I get mad.
Do you have a lot of anger? Do you have a lot of stress in your life? Do you hold a lot of hatred for the people around you?
I feel like I love people and then like okay.
I love
I
people.
I actually have a great I love people and then I hate people. You know, it's really like every interaction I put into one box and I wish I wasn't like this. But I'll tell you one that like something that caught my attention this week where I was like I was a cynical like I just and I know and I like this person, okay? I don't know why
where
this just caught
going?
Me so
I'm
weird.
Worried.
You know Andy Richter from Conan's old
yeah,
show?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Love Andy.
Love him.
I was, because I love him, I clicked on this link for like, and I never watched these like old late night talk shows, but I was like, it's Andy.
Yeah.
It got pushed to me. I was like, it's Andy. Of course I'm going to click on to see what he's up to. I saw that he had
love
a podcast
Andy.
And he was like, but he wasn't like jovial, fun, hilarious Andy. He said he was like, they were like, so what are you trying to do with, I don't remember who's, late night it was, but it was, you know, one of these guys.
Right.
And he's like, you know, I try to get people in the right mood and maybe even convince them to, I trick them into having a therapy session with me on his podcast.
Wow.
And I was just like, so does fucking like everyone. Welcome to just podcasts. Welcome to podcasts. That's what every like, you know, it just
that's
bothered
what they
me.
All say.
It just pissed me off. It pissed me off.
Can't
like,
be too
Howard
surprised.
Stern 20 years ago. Welcome. You know,
and he did have a history of tricking people. You know, he did try to, you know, trick Adrian Monk into being his best friend. once to get away with murder.
Was Andy Richter in an episode of Monk?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
That's how I found him. And then I found Conan after that. And I was like, damn, that's the bad guy from Monk.
No way.
That's the murderer from
He's
Monk.
Best friends with Monk. And then, well, not really best friends.
It's a jungle out there.
I don't know.
Do you guys kill you?
Beckett, I know Lucas gets cynical like that, but I want to know, do you have visceral hatred for things when you see them? Or are you just calm?
Oh, no, I get pissed off. I get pissed off for sure.
Like dumb shit. Like not just pissed, but you know.
It's usually more dumb shit than things that I have a reason for. And that's why it pisses me off, because it's like I shouldn't be pissed at this. But... yeah, I can't pull out an example right now, but it happens.
Well, you brought up the talk shows, and that is something that I just can't.
I know.
I've grown so fucking hateful for that.
Why?
For that.
Why do we feel this way?
I don't know why I feel that way, but did you guys ever see the clips of like all the Jimmys and then all the talk show hosts doing the after the January 6th riot, the fucking terrorist attack,
the insurrection.
Yeah, after the insurrection, it was like. Each individual talk show host had to do like their speech, their quiet, cold opening speech at the beginning of the episode. And it's the most fucking, I mean, look, they're trying to do the whatever they think is the right thing. But it just comes off so, yeah, but it's literally like Jimmy Fallon's like, I don't know how something like this could happen. When I see something like this, I think the country's gone crazy. I mean, these are terrorists. Yeah. And each one of them is like making this incredibly over the top. And it's like I can see that they are trying to be sincere, and they probably are, but it just fucking rubs me the wrong way. Something about it.
It's just like, who are you supposed to listen to? Because I think like Jon Stewart, Daily Show, like before the last like 2-3 years, but it's still good. But like there was like a certain point.
Love the Daily
Show. Like the Bush era Daily Show. I remember watching my parents watch that. And I was like, this is like the perfect amount of like political commentary and satire. It's like it rode the line really well.
Yes.
And I feel like it changed the way people were doing it. And now everyone but people consume news like this now. And it's like, I just get like, ironically, do you guys remember when Jimmy Fallon rubbed Trump's hair?
Yes, yes.
And people got so mad that he didn't even like support Trump. He was just like, hey, since you might be president, and it's just Jimmy Fallon being a goofball. Jimmy Fallon. And in a way, I respect him actually more than the rest of them, because he's not like showboating and trying to fucking like pretend like he's clearly not a political guy. I don't think he gives a fuck. The guy's clearly just trying to like just do some funny bits and be mainstream. Yeah. And it's like, you know what? Like, there's a beauty because this, at least that's what this fucking is. You know what I mean? It's the Tonight Show. It's this mainstream bullshit. And everyone loves it, you know? Like, it's supposed to be fun. Yeah. It's not supposed to be serious. And, like, I don't know. It's confusing now what is news and what's funny. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. Fucking, remember when he rubbed his hair and then everyone was like, how dare you humanize Donald Trump? And then they shot him right back into place of being like, just follow the our side's propaganda.
Yeah, keep saying
fear-mongery shit against it. And I'm like, look, I fucking hated Trump. I didn't vote for Trump. I don't like when Trump gets good press. But
hate the guy.
It's like the more you just fuel this shit, I don't know, man. That really bothered me when I saw that. Because like the liberal media just like fucking shut him down and
then
just turned him into what everyone else did.
Yeah,
you know?
It immediately was like, all right, get back in line. Get back in line. Dude, the whole Trump presidency with the fucking late night dudes was awful, dude. He's fucking orange.
I know. They're still talking about
him. He's fucking orange. Yeah.
It's like the amount of Trump impersonations I've seen over the last 4 years. He has to be like the most impersonated person ever.
Oh, we're going to bum all the world.
That's a pretty good one.
I only watch the talk shows and the news if I know it's close to home. You never know where you can get your info, and like, I mean, like literally close to home, like down the street.
Wait, what are you saying?
What are you saying? There's something cryptic.
Like,
what is the hidden?
The way Beckett was looking at it's like. Like, you know what I mean?
Wait, no, I want to know what you're saying.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh,
is it
Jimmy Kimmel down
like
the street?
Like Jimmy Kimmel down the street.
I'm sorry. That was very funny.
No, that was a callback that went over my head.
If you saw last week's episode, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Give him a double for that one. Yeah, so you're going to have to tune into last week's episode.
Speaking of last week's episode, I didn't read the comments. Just check if there's anything worth it. Can somebody go?
I saw some. We had some first time viewers. People telling us, that they're that like, oh, Dirty Harry is my favorite song.
Beckett was mad as fuck because I
put an LOL. The wrong I laughed.
You went.
Beckett was mad as fuck that I mistitled it to the Clint Eastwood song story.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I do this all the time with those two songs. I always do this.
I still do it too.
Because
I still
Dirty
do it
Harry
too.
Is a Clint Eastwood
is
movie.
Is a Clint Eastwood movie.
So I always
fuck
that up in my head. So I apologize, Beckett.
It's okay. I wasn't mad. You know, I put the LOL in the text to show.
But I know you.
To soften the blow, like when you kind of put.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't
want to
be like. You know, there's an issue because there wasn't an issue.
Well, I felt
I
like, can
to...
I just say what I was thinking that you were thinking? Because and I don't want you to tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But when I got the text and I was over Siri and Siri was like, LOL.
And it reads it.
Yeah.
Maybe that influenced me. But I was like, oh, Beckett's mad because people are commenting, this isn't that song. And he feels like he's being publicly shamed. When in reality, not the whole podcast, because it's my fault.
Yeah, right.
And he feels like he's being... like treated like he's stupid and he's much smarter than that and he wants the world to know.
He wants the world.
Is that how you were feeling?
No.
You might have overthought it. Yeah.
Fuck.
But now that you say that, I guess.
Fuck.
Now retroactively looking at it, maybe it was like that. Maybe I should read those comments.
Yeah, maybe. And
so you didn't read a comment. You just saw it. And you
I did see one comment that was like, if anyone else here is really disappointed by the content versus the title, actually, Clint Eastwood was like a drum machine because it was pretty sure it was like the Omnicord like piano or whatever.
So you saw a comment that was negative.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Sure.
But you know, we're not mad, you know? It was all good.
You were embarrassed?
I logged in real quick and changed it, but
you know, I realized with socials, I'm just like, I upload and I get out because I can't take it anymore. Because we've had such a long-standing battle with social media. As you know, as a Younger Hunger fan, you know we've been on socials forever. It's been such a primary part of our... We don't just do the social. Like, we, like, do the social. Like, we have in the past. It's been a big part of our identity since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't take the positive or the negative. Because I realized I had an addiction to the fucking the hit. You know, like for like a year there, I was like, I would upload every day and I was just like loving it. I was like, our fans are love us.
They love the views. That dopamine rush.
And then when it wouldn't come, I'd get despondent and it really fucked me up. And so now I upload and I move on.
And you move and you're on to the next.
You're making
thing.
It like a double-double. You're just in and out.
And it'll ruin my day every time.
Yeah. Okay.
Just going on there just stresses me out. I don't know why.
It's not so bad. People are nice to us. Like our friend here, Jeremy Gonzalez, who says this is his first episode, but he's definitely going to tune in some more. Dirty Harry was his favorite song. And he suggested you check out Frizzle Fry by Primus, which I love Primus. I love Frizzle Fry. That shit is like when I heard Primus, that was like wanted. That was like why I wanted to play bass was that. And he does say that outdoor cock is good for a leak in the house. So thank you very much. Thank you, Jeremy Gonzalez.
What's his name? Sorry, one more time.
Jeremy Gonzalez. Gonzalez. Yeah, appreciate you, my good boy. John from Philly says that a brief inquiry. I can't talk right. Yeah, is his favorite 1975 album. Can't wait to hear the next episode. So we got some people looking forward to.
Yeah, we're a week ahead now. So
yeah.
So that episode hasn't come out.
We are a week ahead. Yeah.
When we're filming this,
but it's gonna be. We did mention it. We did mention it. I believe at the end of the Demon Days.
Got you.
Conversation. But yeah, people shouting out, and a couple more we can.
Any more notable just shouting out people?
CYKA the Blyat, I don't know what that name is, says WAP has heavily influenced the hardcore band I'm in. Which I want to hear whatever the fuck you're making. That sounds dope as fuck.
Yeah, hell yeah. Send it to us.
It's a staple of the music industry now for sure is what he says. So thank you, Mr. the Blyat. We appreciate that.
Nice.
And wait, maybe we need to let WAP bleed into... into Younger Hunger a little bit. Just start talking about like our our nether regions.
I've listened to that song because the production's pretty crazy. The production, it's interesting to me how like that's like a perfect example of one of these like huge pop songs that's like, it's like the am I forgetting that the kick's not really loud, right? It's just doo doo doo. It's like a bass.
I kind of think it's like a
top of
kind
my head,
bare bones beat, right?
It's it's super. It's like the vocals super fucking. It's the same thing with Travis Scott. It's louder than you think. The vocals like insanely loud.
Yeah,
the kick's not competing. It's the bass that like they're sacrificing kick for bass.
And
is that one of those? I'm pretty sure it is.
I can't remember off the top of my head, I'm thinking back, so correct me if I'm wrong, but like I remember when I heard it, I remember thinking like it was interesting because kind of remind me of like a Millie by Lil Wayne.
Yeah,
Wayne.
With that vocal like sample.
The sample is just fast and
because it's just repeating, like the melodic element of the sample is just like a spoken word thing. You know, there's whores in this house. We're like
Said there's whores in this house.
That's what it says.
Is that what it says? There's some hoes in this house. There's some hoes in this. I didn't think they were using the.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
So I have
maybe
no idea what it says. Like,
I don't know either.
It could
we
be
should
either.
Look this up.
Yeah,
no, we should look that up.
I feel like that's just like more aggressive. I feel like I don't know why. I feel like the word
there's a
with the R.
I think
it makes it
like,
seem
come
like
come on down to the whorehouse.
Yeah, it seems like a little or like you know in Sopranos, she was a whore.
She was a whore.
Tony, she was a whore.
It's whores in this house.
Okay.
Yeah. Tony, she was a whore. You know what? Good for them even more for like owning that in that way. Because it's clearly a derogatory. I feel like whore is a derogatory word versus ho.
Ho kind of is a. I don't know.
Like ho's been repurposed. Like,
yeah. I think
I'm
you're right. You're
shit.
Right. Yeah. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's same thing with slut. Like slut could be like a good thing, like
you're not supposed to slut shame. Don't slut shame.
Yeah, you don't slut shame.
Yeah.
But like
don't
people are like,
shame.
I'm in my slut era.
Totally.
It could be
I
a
fuck
good
with
thing.
That.
But
I fuck with that.
Sexual
you know,
liberation.
Yeah,
maybe?
You know, guys, I'm in my slut era now.
Are you?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. What does it mean to be in? Can you just say it?
It
or
means
do you
you're
have
hoeing
to,
around.
Oh, okay.
Means you go goblin not. Mode.
Yeah.
What does that one mean?
That's a throwback.
Did you guys get annoyed when? Okay, does anyone know the inception? And really quick, because we got to get into the album. But
yeah, we
got to
get
quick. Do you guys the album "Demon Time" by Muramasa?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was Playboi Carti? Oh, shouts out Playboi Carti.
There
you go. My merch.
Yeah.
Did Playboi Carti? Did he? Who made the? I'm on. The first time I heard "Demon Time."
Demon Time was
in that song. Where he goes, I'm on Demon Time.
Yeah.
I'm on Demon Time. I feel like Lil Yachty made a song called Demon Time. Like,
What's
that one guy who rips off Cardi?
Trippie Red. Made a song called Demon Time.
I mean, I've heard people like, before I heard the songs, I heard, I don't know when those songs came out, like exactly in timeline, because like when I was in college, people would say, which was also like at when Playboi Carti, like, you know.
But Whole Lotta Red hadn't dropped.
Whole Lotta Red
hadn't
dropped.
Yeah, it was just the
dropped.
Self-titled.
No, it had not dropped.
Had not dropped.
Yeah, because that was like 20.
That was the year after college.
Yeah. People would say like Demon Time is like I'm going on Demon Time because like.
Okay, so he didn't make that up.
You're having like a raunchy weekend, you know, like you're on your demon shit. You're on Demon Time.
I get the concept. I thought Cardi had like made it.
He had coined the term.
Yeah. But of course,
but you know, maybe
not.
My timelines are mixed up. Maybe everyone's just trying to be like Cardi, you know?
You know, time is not a linear thing. So
yeah, it is a curve.
Tomorrow I'm going to wake up and be a little boy again.
Yeah.
That's how I like to think of it.
That's
do you ever talk to like grown like men who don't like they're not like very like with they're not like checking in with themselves often, but then they get like in their feels and they'll say shit like, bro, I just want to be a fucking little kid again. You know what I'm talking about? I've had that conversation like 15 times.
There were a lot of people that were doing like Kid Cudi was he kind of He really adopted that.
The industry's little brother. Beckett taught me that one.
I was looking through my DMs to Lucas the other day. And we don't have many DMs There's not many.
Like on Instagram? DM is weird when you're talking to someone.
We have like maybe like 5 things sent between the two of us. And the 4 of those 6 comments is a chain where I had... Lucas had sent me some sort of picture of Kid Cudi, but it was deleted. A post that's not deleted.
Oh,
and I said, industry's big bro is asking the big questions. You responded and you said he's so wise for a kid his age. And I was dying, and I wanted to like screenshot and send it to you guys, but I was like, this is like a 4-year-old like text thread.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's fucking funny, man. That's really funny.
That is funny. That's a good one. Am I allowed to say that's funny because I said it?
Yeah.
It was funny. I was dying. Funny.
Yeah, because I didn't remember.
I was dying when I looked back at it.
Are you guys familiar with like the multiple, like the myriad of rappers that have confused the cello as a...
With the
clarinet?
Lugatti.
With the wind instrument? Yeah. Because there's
Squidward
the famous...
play it like the cello.
Yeah, like blow me like a cello. Because there's a famous Lil Yachty one. But then I heard a Lil Uzi song the other day, like a newer one, where he did the same comparison. And I was like, it's not a wind. There's like a Mandela effect going on where rappers think that the cello is like, they're mistaking it with the clarinet. They use like wind instrument analogies.
Yeah.
Have you heard that? I don't know what's going on.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, it's a really, if you look into it, it's like, because there's like blow my dick like a cello. It's all about blowing. Like it's all blowjob related stuff, but it's like you're not blowing a cello. Like, am I wrong?
Get played like a cello.
I just don't know what's going on.
Right, because you don't blow a cello.
I can only think they've seen SpongeBob, and they're trying to remember what instrument Squidward played.
I feel like rappers, and I think the reason this is even so big is partially because Travis Scott did that the SpongeBob.
The Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Like, but have you noticed, like, rappers, like, bite off each other, like, way more than... And I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. I think it's, like, widespread collaboration. It's very, like, genre-specific music because it's, like, the hottest genre, especially for their era.
Right.
I think it's interesting, but anyway.
There is a lot of, like, referential... Even with the, like, I don't know if Push and Pee was the term before that track for the Gunna song, Push and Pee. But then now that's like a thing that, but now you'll hear it in like songs from other artists like now. Like
yeah,
you hear
same
it in
thing
the new
with
Drake
album.
Or that,
with Drake said, well, Drake just, it sounds like Drake just steals things off.
Well, that is Drake.
But remember,
yeah, I guess
he did that 21 Savage album and he said, remember the bar of the whole fucking track on Cash In, Cash Out, he goes, she swallow all my kids, she a bad babysitter.
Yeah.
It was such a... good line. It was just such
banger.
A good fucking. Yeah, yeah. It was just such a like, I remember sitting there thinking about it. I was like, oh, dude, like that one really. That one got
Pit
me.
Bulls came out. Come on,
that's right,
dude. That's that. Oh my god, I got chills. I
was that's like, demon time.
But then, basically, Drake said this. He also said the like a very similar thing.
He kind of
I think and it's
on
that.
The,
he does
on
that
on the 21 Savage album. The
yeah
the,
with and I guess loss. In that case because this is what he does. This is Drake's the genius of Drake.
Yeah.
Drake steals things, but he does it in a way where he's like including you in on it.
Yeah, that was the
whole...
So
that you can't say shit.
That was the whole drill rap thing. When he got into drill, like UK drill rap, and then Drake started doing like British accents on the songs, but he's like, well, he's including all these like kind of underground drill rappers on his music. So, I mean, that's cool. Like,
but nobody's gaining as much as Drake.
Is Drake? Yeah.
That's
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah,
that's the thing that always is the consistent thing about Drake.
Yeah. Maybe contributing bars was what, in fact, he wanted 21 Savage to do for him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's. Like to
when
come
he
in
said,
and write.
Could you do something for me?
Oh yeah. Oh. We finally know what he was. Rewind. Hit the 15-second rewind button and watch as Tony and I slowly get the joke.
That's a clip.
Yeah, that was
clip.
A good
that
one.
That was really funny.
That was a good one.
Banger. That's fucking funny, man. No, Tina.
Soundboard's
don't.
Dead. Oh, we have an emergency cat gonna piss on the on the chair. Yeah, that's a really nice sweater.
Thank you. I got a perfect
You took it off on
Are the cameras still
camera.
Running?
Oh, yeah, that one is.
Yeah, this is a good time to check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, seems all right. Yeah, we're going.
All right, should we talk about this Taylor Swift
Let's
album?
Get into yeah. the fucking...
Speaking of
the
hip-hop bangers.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Midnights by Taylor Swift.
Let's talk about Midnights. Midnights? Is it plural? Or Midnight?
I think it's Midnights.
Yeah. Midnights.
Because it was produced over many midnights.
Is that the story behind it?
That's what they said in the press release.
Okay, yeah, in the press release.
I think in the iTunes description box.
Oh, okay, yeah. In the cool. iTunes, yeah. I like those. What can you guys tell me about, like, can you guys tell me who produced it?
Jack Antonoff, this is the first album, if I remember correctly, this is the first album that Taylor has done with Jack Antonoff, completely just the two of them.
Right? Yeah. Oh, wait, I thought they worked together a bunch.
They've done a lot of songs together.
He's always like, there's certain, I think Reputation, he did half the album.
Yeah, Reputation,
I think,
right.
1989, he did like part of the album. Like a few songs. I think he's progressively
Woods,
done more and more, but he's usually with Max Martin and like they're.
They usually
do a bunch of it too.
Yeah. Lover, there were some Antonoff cuts as well, but yeah, this is the first one that have like completely no Max Martin and like also have complete Jack Antonoff.
And the first thing I want to say about that is. I think one thing this album does extremely well is demonstrate how unbelievable of a songwriter Taylor Swift is. Because she doesn't need... If anyone was going to say shit about her having co-writers, which is also a dumb argument, but even if you wanted to say that, like, artists are only allowed to have, like, one person in the room or two people, like, she fucking... I mean, it's all her, right? I mean, there's no hiding in this one.
Yeah, and
she's had a lot that were not... Max Martin wasn't even on, like... Like, when I said the Max Martin not on it, I didn't mean, like, actually the first record without Max Martin on it.
I think it is, maybe.
Well, the first, like the early, like, the country records and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know which album Max Martin came in on, but it wasn't, like, for the first... I don't think it was until Red.
She's had other writers involved, right?
Yes, but she's had a lot of, like big songs that were, like, solo rights
totally.
As well.
I think the reason I bring this up is just because of obviously our man Damon.
Yes,
publicly shat on her when it was just a moot point.
Right.
People have already talked about this with her. She does write her own fucking songs. People just don't want to believe it because she's a girl. I mean, that's like if it was a guy, I think people would be.
No one's
saying shit about The Weeknd. He has the same credits. Yeah, the same people.
We did talk about that bum take. That was a bum take.
Still love the guy. That was a bad take.
Still love him. It was just a bad take. It was it was weird to me because I always thought that Taylor Swift was like the example of like an artist that is like a humongous commercial artist that is also heavily writing her own stuff, I guess. Am I wrong about that? I think
it's interesting how she's been publicly debased in a way that I don't know other artists have at her level, starting with Kanye walking on stage famously and being like, you're an asshole in front of an entire
Beyonce
had a better video than you and walked
it's
off
like that
know,
happened
like,
to her and then like
I mean consistently throughout her career there's been moments like that. Kanye shat on her even more.
He did not give up.
I mean, it sounds like Kanye just did a lot against her, but I hear people, the conversation around Taylor Swift, like I feel like the naysayers of Taylor Swift, it's a common thing for them to be like, she's contrived, she doesn't write her own songs, you know, whatever. Like,
sure.
And it is really ridiculous. And she's written about specifically that in other albums, like Lover. She's like, if I was a man,
then I'd be the man.
Yeah, classic, the fucking great pop line.
Yeah,
she's an amazing pop writer. And this album, particularly, I want to say, and this is not a knock. I was surprised when I heard this for the first time because I felt like the production was, I want to say my first instinct was like, this is really like dated. I was like, this sounds like 5 years ago, you know, like I'm like, this sounds like a less committed version than her other shit. This sounds like a less aggressive version of Reputation.
No, it's like more, it's a little bit more like lo-fi.
That's what I was going to, it's very lo-fi.
And like not even in like you could say like Out of the Woods could have been like from 1989 was like, you know, a little bit more lo-fi than some of the other cuts on the album. But I don't know, like you look at I don't know, what's the Lover track that was with St. Vincent and Jack Antonoff, Cruel Summer. Like that's like similar ish vibe to like some of the tracks on this, but it sounds way more hi-fi. Like the drums hit like really hard. And like the sounds hit like super hard. These ones and like the choruses are like they just hit like really hard. When I the first time I heard this record, like I mean it's a great pop record, and there's like incredible, like she always has incredible lyric writing, and there's incredible choruses. But I felt like it was a little bit more like, and I think it was a positive thing, but like a little bit more like subdued mm-hmm. in it. Yeah. Like it didn't feel like.
I agree.
Like trying to be like a complete smash. Like I was like, okay, this is kind of like, this is really interesting that they're doing this. And like, especially like listening to like the other, like I feel like we've all heard so many Jack Antonoff records in the last like 3 years, and like seeing the shift of like where he was going, like the road he was going down with those, and like for it to go kind of like go back, and even with the Taylor stuff, because what's the one that came after Folklore?
Evermore, right?
Like, that only had, like, one Jack Antonoff track, I think. Something like that. But, like, to see that switch for both of them going into this album, I thought was really cool. I thought, like, I was really surprised. But, like, I'm into it.
It did work, didn't it? And I think it worked because she's coming off of this, like, two folkier album. Like, they were much more, like...
organic kind of
sounding. Fuck the hooks. Like, let's talk about like specifically the storytelling. She took more risks, right? Like, inevitably, undoubtedly, I think she took more risks on those albums from a songwriting perspective, not a production, maybe even a production perspective, because she peeled it back so much. But this is like her doing the pop shit, but through the filter of that almost. You know what I mean? Because it hits less hard. It's more about the lyrics. And at first, I was really turned off by it, actually. I had a different reaction. I was like, man, these drums are so basic. This is like these effects he's using is like the same plugins. You can hear it. And then, by the end of the listen all the way through, because I'd heard some of the songs, obviously. Like I heard Lavender Haze and I heard the...
Anti-Hero.
Yeah. Best song on the record, honestly, I think.
Banger.
There were some really good ones on there. But in general, like I was like, man, these drum samples are shit. You know, like I was like, this is like really not... I really was not feeling the production. I was like, this production is, which is the same way I felt about that 1975 album. That Jack Antonoff also did.
The most recent one.
Yeah.
Which I'll never be able to uncouple those together because it clearly they were made around the same time.
Me too.
I feel like he's like.
That was what I was thinking.
Yeah, she's her lyrics just went on stage for them too. Yeah.
I think.
She had like Maddie lyrics, don't you think?
I'm not as familiar with like all of the Jack Antonoff sounds, but like I really felt that his thumbprint was like, I don't know. I guess maybe it had been a second since. I guess the last thing I listened to from him was that 1975 thing, and that felt like a Jack Antonoff. It was Bleachers. That was his band, right? It felt like a Bleachers. It felt like a Bleachers record, honestly. Like,
do you think?
But like,
I kind of felt like it.
Yeah, but you like to think. Okay, when I think of that 1975 record, like with how organic everything is,
not that that's
like,
a bad thing. Yeah, I liked it.
I think they're both good. Like to think that those are both made at the same time because they feel very different. In like, the 1975 record is like really organic and like, if I'm remembering correctly, like it's like really dense.
As in there's a lot of layering.
A lot, right? There's like a ton of things going on.
Yeah, which is very different.
The Taylor record is like super sparse and like I guess they both are like kind of like immersed, like you're in like a production world, you're in like a vibe. But they seem like from like a very different standpoint. So like it's interesting seeing those come from the same time. But I agree with you, like the first time I heard it, I was really surprised because like when I saw, like when I heard the first track, like I heard Anti-Hero and I was like, oh, this is about to be like she's like making like a really big pop record. And so I was expecting like really like hard hitting, like everything, like
it wasn't
choruses,
really...
productions, melodies. And like, not to say that this album doesn't have things like that, but it definitely wasn't like.
It's verbed out. It's verbed the fuck out.
It
nothing is
like
hitting.
A lo-fi vibe album.
There's.
It's the reverb. It's the reverb on both of these albums. He's using these like massive reverb, like they're almost like 80s like halls, and he's using a bunch of spring reverb. He's using these very like natural, and you know, like I'm not saying I don't like it. I think it caught me off guard, and I initially didn't like it because I feel like he's been inching closer since Norman fucking Rockwell, that album he did for
Lana
Del Rey.
Yeah.
That album, you know, was acoustic. It didn't necessarily like hit, which was different for him because I remember I was obsessed with Melodrama when it dropped, the Lord album.
Yeah, Lord.
And that one hits really hard.
Yeah.
It's not that he can't do it. He's decidingly not everybody in modern music is like competing. Like we were talking about with WAP or WAP, or I don't know how you say it. WAP is I'm Italian. I can say WAP.
You can say that.
Right.
You're safe.
Good intentions.
Good intentions. You know, that song, like that's a perfect example, or the Travis Scott. We're talking about music that is pushing the boundaries of how hard something could hit by having as little. There is no extra sound. Everything is like airtight, so it's so much louder than everything else. Because what happens when you put reverb in music, your brain, your ear is not processing it as like signal, like loudness necessary. If you have two signals, where imagine like reverb is. I do have to explain. You know what reverb? If you don't know what reverb is, look up reverb, I guess. But like reverb. If I gave you two signals where one was like, it's a dry guitar with no reverb on it versus a guitar that's like 50%, like it's 50% as loud, and then that loudness is made up for in reverb, this one's going to sound quieter than the dry one, if that makes sense. Mm. So the whole thing has this appear, because there's only so much noise that can be in songs. So the way to make something powerful and hit is to have as little as possible. And nothing's competing with itself, and then it's mastered like there's no dynamics. It's like volume dynamics are like right, really rigid. And like his, I feel like Jack Antonoff has, as a producer, like given up completely on that like battle, which is interesting. And I think it's kind of a ballsy, interesting move.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool to see, and it's cool to see how well the album did.
Totally
like, with that, and like the fact that they like committed to it, because like. It wasn't like all the way this way and all the way that way in terms of like we're going to make like pop smash or like introspective, like, you know, stripped. Yeah. But I don't know. Like the first like few times I heard it, I also like there was a few tracks like I really like Mastermind at the end. Antihero hits. I like the synths and glitter. There's. Yeah, but
say something.
I like that track. There's something about it that like bugs you. But overall, like it's one of my favorites on the record.
Sorry, you skipped over that. Something about it that bugs you.
You're swallowing the word bug.
It's one of my favorites. Like if you were like,
say what bugs you.
Like when it comes on, it's one of my favorite ones. I think it's a really good song.
We love Tay-Tay.
I know what you mean. It's a little bit na 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 na. You know?
Yeah, it's
it's got that. Everybody needs one of those. It works on the record, but I get what you're saying.
I like the sounds more than the words on that one personally. But like that's I love Taylor Words. You know,
she is an Taylor unbelievable, words. Like very like Steven Spielberg. He like almost like she's like the Steven Spielberg of like pop.
Like, I like the way visualize. You put that. It's like like that warm, comforting like schmaltz.
And she's that's really Spielberg it's direct, Schmaltz. You know. Yeah. It's like it's and it's always got this wholesome message behind it. And I feel like her music is very much that, right? It's like it's the best version of that. I feel like she's the best songwriter alive right now. I think defining songwriter of our generation in terms of speaking to the masses. Clearly, I mean, who's doing it at the level that she's doing it?
Yeah,
off of pure songwriting.
You know, like for every like Blank Space is like I love that song so much. But like for every Blank Space, there was like a Shake It Off, you know? And like when you think
how
about
are those
her,
different?
Because Blank Space is like it's definitely like darker. It's a darker song. Like you're just talking about like Shake It Off is like so sunny and like, you know, like
sounding, not like lyrically. Shake It Off is way darker lyrically. Shake It Off is like people are. The whole world is shitting on me all the time.
I know, but
and
like
I'm
that's
just gonna fucking get up. And
but
start
it's like
moving.
It's okay. I'm just gonna like shake it off. You know, I'm not like You don't get what I'm saying?
I get that. I think sonically, like, the song sounds darker. I think Blank Space sounds darker. I don't think it's like...
But like even like lyrically, like it's saying like that there's, you know, like... I mean, I'd have to pull up the lyrics.
I know the lyrics.
But yeah, you
nice
know the lyrics.
Nice to meet you where you've been. I can show you incredible things. Magic, madness, heaven, sin. Saw you there and I thought, oh my God, look at that face. You look like my next mistake. Love's a game, want to play. Yeah, it's like...
Is there anywhere that people could see the Younger Hunger Blank Space cover?
Oh, yeah. That was a nightmare.
That was that long ago? Yeah, oh, my God.
You know, yeah, it was... We did me and her old guitarist did a cover of that because we were like, we need to do a cover every week because he had read online or in his music class or something. They were like, the fastest way to blow up is to do a cover of a pop song every week. And we didn't know that was lame.
That was dorky as
we
hell.
Didn't really know that was like a really like dorky geeky thing to do. So we did it once and then we were like, we're gonna do this every week, and then we never did.
We did
that one.
Oh my God,
but
that was so like that one's about her meeting a guy and being like, oh my God, I'm excited, and like, then being like, oh shit, is this
the media
down
was like villainizing her and like painting her as just like...
But that's Shake It Off that you're talking to.
Like,
that's
no, the Blank Space was like they were painting her as this like type of girl that just like is like going out and like is crazy just to find this man and like
Becca, that's Shake It Off. That's not Blank Space.
No, I promise you.
I know the lyrics in my head.
Oh,
like, what are you
she's
talking
saying,
about?
Shit.
Like she was
Swift
saying
off.
That like
so
it's gonna you're just trying to like you're looking for
Taylor
like
battle.
A different man. Like is it gonna be for the what's the lyric? Is it for like a
or is it going to go down in flames? You can tell me when it's over. If the high was worth the pain. Got a long list of ex-lovers. They'll tell you I'm insane. But I got a blank space, baby.
You know?
I'll write your name.
Yes.
Thank you, Danny.
That's a direct, like she...
That's even, not about the media versus...
She
that's
said...
That's what people say.
No, she... Oh. In interviews...
That's what people say.
No, she herself has said, like, oh, this girl seems so interesting because, like, I'm not like that. Like, I'm not this person that's just, like, serial dating all these people, like, trying to make this thing. Like, what would that person look like? It's like...
Okay, so you're saying, like, in her head, she was thinking about, like, portraying someone that was not her with that song?
Yeah, it was what she believed the media was, like, thought of her as.
Really? That song?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I wouldn't think that. That seems earnest to me.
Yeah, I mean...
I wonder if she just doesn't even, like... You ever see, like... I don't know. That seems like such a... That kind of bums me out because I feel like that's such a genuine human experience of, like...
I'm pumped the lyrics.
That's just a bummer, I guess. Because it feels like a classic experience of anyone could have of, like... I'm meeting someone. I'm really excited. I don't know if this is going to be like really shitty because I've been through other people and like it's never like clicked. It's like the anxiety at the beginning of an exciting relationship.
We have Beckett carefully scanning over lyrics for verse one.
Man, I really connected with that song.
He's making his way
like
to the chorus.
I mean, hearing
the
story is like, yeah, that's like what got me into the song because I was like, oh, this makes so much more sense now.
I feel like it's so direct. That's so interesting. I've had the opposite experience.
Yeah.
Guys, we're not talking about the right album here.
Yeah, we're talking about a different album.
We're talking about the wrong record. Well, what's the final verdict here so we can move on? What is it about?
It's about how the media like painted her as this picture who was this like serial dating crazy girl. And since she wrote a song to like, what that person would be like. The song was about that person because she didn't identify as that person. That's what the song is about, according to her. According to her, at least.
Okay.
And this is me. This is me paraphrasing.
I feel like so bummed out by that. I feel like betrayed.
I thought it was beautiful because like she was taking like the narrative in her own control. You know?
Yeah, but I like connected with the like. What does it say about if it's like, oh, I'm just being a shitty person? Then it's like, oh, well, what happens if you like liked the song? Unironically,
it doesn't.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I mean,
I feel you. Yeah, that makes sense.
I just don't like artists. Just shouldn't talk about what songs are about. I think I've realized that. As
usually
cliche and cheesy as it is, like it is like it doesn't matter what you were thinking about when you wrote it. What matters is the experience somebody's having when they're listening to it. And I didn't always feel that way. I've actually felt the opposite way for a really long time. But now I'm kind of more like, maybe as I'm hitting my old age.
I'm kind of with you. It's not necessary. But sometimes it could be fun to like find out the sort of context around the song from the artist to see where it came from or like the headspace that it came from. But to flat out explain like a song meaning, yeah, I don't know if I like love that anymore.
It depends on the song, because like there's some songs where I feel like you ruin the mystery if you really know everything about it. Especially if you had like an idea, like what was one that I was thinking of? Like what's the last song on the most recent not the live MGMT record, but on Little Dark Age, Hand It Over.
Oh my god, I love that song.
Like I thought like I had read the lyrics and I was like, oh, it's about like
wait, don't please don't tell me what this
okay,
is.
Okay,
okay.
Well,
I feel like I already know.
Okay, well, like, wait, when I heard the lyrics,
now.
Like,
fuck, please.
I was I'm not going to go into it. I'm not going to go into it.
I don't know.
Well, do you want me to say it or no?
Fine, say it.
Like, I was incredibly moved because, like, what does he say? He says, like, are we speaking, like, will this just fuck us over?
If we lose our touch, it won't mean much if everyone's confused.
Yeah,
which
like
do we
I thought, like they were talking about how like they would alienate their audience and like how they like the their career arc and like how they did.
Yeah,
that
I
was
thought
beautiful.
That's what
like
it was about too.
Uh-oh.
But then
uh-oh.
Like he just said it was about like Trump becoming president, and I was like, are you sure? Because it fits so perfectly, and it was like,
well, that's the thing. They're clearly talking about that.
Like it must still have that.
Yeah.
And even if they don't know it, that's what they're talking about.
That's what they're talking about.
That's what happens all the time. You ever write a song and you're like, this is not about this. And then it's like, you know, it's about, like,
but it's like clearly
that song is too specific.
And it fits perfectly. And like, I like it so much better. I like that. I mean, and there's other songs where, I mean, I always tell a story about like Mr. Brightside and like, I'm pretty sure like, the story might be wrong at this point because I think someone corrected me. Oh, when I talk about Heroes and like how it was recorded and like then I like
you've been telling
learn
the
more
wrong story.
Yeah, well, I've been telling like, I mean we're cut for time, but like I'll quickly my story for Heroes was that I think you corrected me on this because I think when I had read it when I was like I don't know like a freshman in college or something, I didn't understand what like you know like gates were and like. And triggers and all those things. And so I didn't, maybe it just didn't like click in my mind. But like when I read it, like I thought that, that when David Bowie was singing, that they like, they only had one track left on the console, which they did. They only had one track left.
Okay.
But like,
okay.
I thought that they had like started it really close and then like they had gradually moved the mic further and further back. And that's why he's like screaming by the end of the song. And I was wow, that's so sick. Like, I love that. But, like, it wasn't. They had, like, some...
But those are the moments that inform... See, okay, this is what's great about the universe. The fact that you misunderstood that and then became a musician, and honestly, probably the first thing... If you didn't hear the correction, you would have been like, they did this on Heroes, let's do it. So it would have inspired you to do it. Could have come up with something cool
might
out of it.
Might have been cool.
And then it would have... And then figured out later that that's not how they did it. That is, like... The fact that you specifically misheard it like that means that we should record something like that, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I've told everyone. As soon as that song comes
on. Because I
know,
because you told everyone that. Not only did you mishear it, it was your favorite story. You loved that
I
shit.
Loved that story.
You loved that
he
thing.
Loved telling
so
that
we
story.
Have to do it. How have we not done it? Put the mic on a dolly, move the dolly
move
back.
It.
We'll get that shout in. Yeah.
Anyway,
it's your Beckett's favorite story. It's gone. And it's gone.
Because it was his favorite. I mean, he told that story. And Beckett's always full of the did you know that, you know, like, what was that thing that we were joking about, Beckett, when we were driving?
Like, the random facts about albums or like.
I wish we had a great story about this. But like, Beckett always comes through with the random, like, did you know that this producer actually produced this other thing? He was actually the first producer for...
Yeah, that is absolutely...
For Colin Farrell actually has a music project. And then this guy actually became... He was just best friends with him because he met him in a bar. And then that's how he got into music. And it's always like, it always has these like crazy twists. Beckett knows
all the little intricacies and the crazy stories, all the lore, the album lore.
Beckett's got, maybe that's the whole reason we're doing this.
Beckett dropped album lore on Demon Days. I didn't know. I mean,
yeah, you had the best
the album lore,
and maybe that's why you were so upset when I miswrote the title.
Because that's Beckett's.
Because you do know your
moment of knowledge.
This isn't a hero's. That's not like a normal thing that you don't know something, that you were wrong about something. So I could imagine it probably grinded your gears a bit
when
you're getting all those negative comments. And
I wasn't
on account of me.
But like, I did want to like comment because like they were like, it came from this drum machine. I was like, well, actually, the piano came from the Omnicord toy. And I wanted to go in because I knew the story behind that song too.
Just do it from your personal account so they don't know.
But now I'm not confident. Maybe I didn't know. Because like at first I was like, wait, was like that the wrong song? Like, is Clint Eastwood, is that even on DVD?
So you did freak out. So you did
I was
freak
a little
out.
Nervous.
Oh,
no, I was like, did I really get that wrong?
Oh, no. I knew it.
But then I looked and I didn't. I was right.
I know. And that's why you were, because I knew you were, I fucking knew it. When I got that text and Siri was, Beckett Edwards says, LOL, that's not Clint Eastwood. I knew, I was like, Beckett's upset right now. He's riled up.
I was more upset at myself because I thought I got it wrong. But you
then
know,
imagine when you got it right, then you were like, oh.
Then I was okay, like I can breathe.
Yeah, because you changed the title. I was driving and within 5 minutes, I was like, oh, I'm going to go home and change the title.
Change it, yeah.
And the Beck's like, don't worry, I just changed the
title. I got it.
Well,
yeah.
I didn't. we'll end after this, but I didn't think you were going to change it because you responded just, oops. And I was like, oh, he doesn't care. I just should go change it.
Yeah. So you were reading it? No, but the reason I said that was because I was driving and I didn't want to.
Can't. Yeah, yeah.
But last time I tried
to
text you guys in the Cyborg Boys group chat.
Yeah, that was
the
weird.
Boy says.
Yeah, that was so weird. Why
it's a series of an asshole.
Boy says that was weird. Well,
loved the Taylor Swift album.
Yeah, I was going to say,
watching
I really
this
liked it.
At home on your couch, hope you enjoy. If you're watching it in your car, listening in your car, hope you enjoy. If you're listening in New York, Mr. Antonoff, and
you
know, I think I understand now where you're coming from. Why the blank space story like couldn't like, I shouldn't say shit like that because I shouldn't challenge you on your great knowledge because you have this beautiful library of knowledge about what happened in the studio. Like, I shouldn't be saying things like, I don't think so, Beckett.
Well, I'm just not great. I'm not great at articulating it.
I think you're great.
Oh, you're
man.
Great. Yeah, but you're like a compendium.
You teach me things. Yeah.
Yeah. Of.
But you
teach
know,
me things constantly.
That's true.
Well, appreciate it. But yeah, we'll delve further into this on the next episode.
Yeah.
What should we do for next week? Should we say right now? What album?
Yeah. Should we say? Well, we should go. If you have anything that you want us to review, or just talk about, or discuss, or re-listen. But leave it in the comments. Let us know. I'll try to work on convincing these guys to do Primus for you, Jeremy. Jeremy Gonzalez.
Happily do Primus.
But yeah, we had one that we initially bumped and replaced with the T-Swizzle one, so maybe it'll be that one.
Yeah, wait, should we do My Bloody Valentine?
My Bloody
Loveless?
Valentine Loveless.
That.
Yeah,
the,
if you have
the classic, like you go to a college party and the one kid who like knows music.
Yeah, he's got long hair, he smells like patchouli, and he fucking knows music, and that's the guy you want to spend your party time with.
He's going to tell you how much My Bloody Valentine is a game changer.
The classic.
And I think all of us were that at one point. So
yeah, I absolutely. The classic shoegaze banger.
I've often wondered if I would be in this band if it weren't for that album.
Wow. We got to do it then. Next week.
This is a pivotal Younger
Hunger
album.
I'm excited to listen. I haven't listened to this in a while. It's been like a year plus since I've listened to the full album. So I'm excited.
I'm excited too. This is
all right. Kevin Shields, listen in because I know you are. We're ripping it apart.
Here we go.
Watch out.
All right. Signing off. See you next week for Loveless.
See you in space,
thank
Mr.
You,
Hatfield.
You guys listen
this
to
is
it too.
Ground control to Major Tom.
Fuck that guy.
Fucking on in space.